I have been asking myself this past week, how do I preach here on my last Sunday? After a little thought, I decided to do nothing different to any normal Sunday. Firstly, to accept what I call the discipline of the lectionary, the three-year cycle of readings that we follow, which makes you grapple with some difficult scriptures sometimes, those good ones. Therefore, the reading from Acts and the reading from 1 Peter are two of the three set for today, along with the Gospel. We just omitted the Psalm. And, yes, I've tried to do what I've always tried to do, which is to put the readings into context, explain the cultural and historical setting, to avoid us reading as we often do, just with our 21st century eyes. But then also, of course, to ask the questions. What should these scriptures mean for us? How should what they say impact on my life, on your life? How should it change the way we seek to live out our faith? Application, as it's called. And I also seek to follow the advice of my friend and colleague, the chaplain in Warsaw, the Reverend David Brown, who famously said that a sermon should be about God in about 10 minutes. The Gospel reading is the Road to Emmaus story, a much-loved resurrection story peculiar to Luke's Gospel. An appearance to two disciples or followers of Jesus who were not themselves part of the immediate 12. There's no other mention of them in Scripture except in this narrative. One, as you may have noticed, is called Cleopas. The other isn't named at all. Many commentators often say they think it might have been Mrs. Cleopas. We're not told the gender, and there were women amongst the followers of Jesus as well as men. It is a reminder that there was a group of followers, including women, of about 120 in total, we're told by Luke in the first chapter of Acts. But, back to what I said a moment or two ago, what should we take and apply to ourselves and our lives from this familiar story, and also I shall refer to the reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Firstly, the importance of knowing and understanding the Old Testament in our Bibles. The Old Testament is 2/3 of a Christian's Bible, but we're not very good at reading it. We know some of the familiar stories. Many of us love the Psalms. Not much else. Now, I do appreciate that some bits of the Old Testament seem totally irrelevant. If you ever tried reading the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles, you'll realise that. It's all about who begat who, or who was the father of it, it's a more modern translation. But the Old Testament is, of course, the Jewish scriptures, and the scriptures that Jesus knew and read, and that he made so many allusions to, and used many direct quotations from. Whole nuances of his teaching are echoes of things in the Old Testament, which of course his hearers would have known. I make this point about knowing and understanding the Old Testament because of what happened on the Emmaus Road. Listen again to what Jesus said to Cleopas and Mrs. Cleopas. Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. In other words, in all of what we call our Old Testament. I have a leather-bound Bible here, which was given to me when, at the age of 18, I immigrated from living in England to Australia. And it's a revised standard version of translation, and has a central column of biblical references, cross-references. And it was my personal Bible for reading for many years. It's a rather well-used one if you look closely fact, this passage had to be mended with sellotape. But in the central references for verse 27, about the column, about half of the column, is references just to the verse I've just read to you. It lists Old Testament references and some New Testament references to what the compilers think Jesus would have referred to. Clearly, it's a certain amount of guesswork, because we aren't told which parts of the Old Testament Moses and all the prophets as it's described, because of course the Jews regarded our Old Testament as the law, the books of Moses, the prophets, the work of the prophets and the historical books, and the writings, like the Psalms. We're not told which parts he interpreted as pointing to himself, but that's certainly what the suggestion here is by the compilers of my cross-references, are a whole series of references. It is, of course, a warning also, this referring back to the Old Testament, of not only taking note of the bits of Scripture that we like or find easy. We are required to grapple with the difficult bits. The three election, as I say, gives you the discipline of doing so. But again, Jesus says, was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things before entering his glory? Sure, a reference to the suffering servant in Isaiah 53, which we had read here on Good Friday, before his eventual triumph and redemption. Yes, we do need to know our scriptures and the Old Testament to fully appreciate what we find in the New Testament, to fully understand all that they point forward to. Secondly, to draw from these readings, is to recognise fully who Jesus is. Cleopas and his wife invite Jesus in and offer a meal. And Jesus, interestingly, takes over the role of the host rather than the guest, because he takes the bread to start the meal, gives thanks to God, and then breaks it, the formal way of beginning a Jewish meal. And through doing this, they recognise him. Earlier, they described Jesus to Jesus as a prophet mighty in deed and word before God. Interesting description. If you were to take a survey, go out with a questionnaire, what do you think about Jesus? You get various answers, I'm sure, such as a good man, a good teacher, and a prophet. But there is more. Jesus says, was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer? He makes the claim of being the Messiah, all that the Old Testament pointed forward to. The Messiah or the Christ. Messiah is the Hebrew, Christ is the Greek, meaning the anointed. We, of course, also had this morning that reading from Acts of the Apostles. And in the readings we'll have there over these coming Sundays, they are often a precedent of early Christian sermons. Today we heard the very end of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him, which is Jesus, both Lord and the Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. He again makes the claim of Messiah, but also the title of Lord, that he is divine, as well as being a fulfillment of the Old Testament, the culmination of God's revelation. Let us learn to recognise who Jesus is, the Messiah, the Christ, but also the divine Son of God. And thirdly, thirdly I want us to draw from these readings is the need to tell others the good news of the gospel. On recognising Jesus at the table, Jesus disappears. But despite nightfall, and already having walked from Jerusalem to Emmaus, Cleopas, we assume this is Cleopas, got up and rapidly returned to Jerusalem to tell the good news that everybody else. They weren't excited. They couldn't keep the good news to themselves. Likewise, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, with the other disciples, with the power of the Holy Spirit, had to speak, had to proclaim the good news about Jesus, that he was crucified, but also that he was risen, and to call for a response, which is what we get at the end of that reading that we had this morning. What shall we do? Said the crowd. Peter replies, repent and be baptized. 3,000 souls came into the kingdom that day. If the triumph of Jesus over sin and death, his resurrection to new life, is meaningful to you, which I hope it is, part of your faith, your joy, your salvation, don't be selfish and keep it to yourselves. Tell others. Just as I'm sure, when you've read a good book, you've enjoyed it, you tell your friends about it. You found a good restaurant with a great meal, you tell your friends about it. The joy of the resurrection also needs to be shared with others, to draw others to faith and into the kingdom. So in conclusion this morning, much as we love the New Testament, we also need to know our Old Testament. It needs to be read and understood, because it points to Jesus. Secondly, we need to recognise who Jesus is, who he really is, not just a prophet, teacher, good man, but, as Peter puts it, Lord and Messiah, the divine Son of God. The one the Old Testament points forward to, who suffers before he enters into his glory. And if we've understood those things, recognised it ourselves, come to faith, found salvation, then let's tell others. Proclaim and share the good news. Bring others to worship and into his kingdom. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.